Spano and Black Attack rolls on here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I'm Joe Spano, 1-800-878-PLAY. If you want to join the fray, that number again, 1-800-878-7529. It's the toll-free number to hang out with me here on The Attack. If you prefer Twitter, at Span56 or at Sports Byline USA. But it's our pleasure to be joined right now by Andy Weir. He's the author of The Martian, a great science fiction book that became one of the hit movies of 2015, and it's going to be released Tuesday on Blu-ray DVD this Tuesday, January the 12th. Andy, welcome to the Spano and Black Attack. It's really great to have you aboard today.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, you know, before we get into the movie itself, let's talk about the book a little bit, the plot of the book, and also how you came to write this tome.
Sure. Well, I mean, the plot of the book is about an astronaut who gets stranded on Mars after his the rest of his crew believes that he's dead and have to do an emergency evacuation during a sandstorm. But he's not dead, and he finds out that he's stuck on Mars with no way to communicate with his crew or Earth. Everyone thinks he's dead, and he's got to try to find a way to survive. The way I wrote it was I was just sitting around when I'm the type of dork who sits around and designs space missions, not for fiction purposes, just for fun. And I was thinking, okay, how do we do a manned Mars mission? How do we get people there? What do we do when they're there? How do they get back? What do you do if something goes wrong? You can't just have your mission plan be all the astronauts die. So I thought, okay, what do they do if this goes wrong? What do they do if that goes wrong? What if these two things go wrong at the same time? I started to realize that was making for a pretty interesting story, so I created an unfortunate protagonist and subjected him to all of it.
That's a well-said summation of how we got the book together. My question for you, in writing this book, and you talked about you're somebody who sets up Martian missions for fun, how intense is the research in writing a book like this, and how hard is it to be scientifically accurate, and as a result, how scientifically accurate was the book?
Well, it was a lot of research. It took me about 3 years to write the book, and I'd say I spent at least half that time doing research. That wasn't very hard, really, because I enjoy that. That's fun. I like the science end of things. The reason I put so much effort into scientific accuracy was because I'm one of those dorks who will point out any scientific inaccuracy in a movie, and I realized that it kind of drives me away from a movie and ruins my suspension of disbelief if I see some blatant error of physics. And so I was writing a story, you know, with the idea, with a target audience of people like me, science-minded dorks who get taken out of a story by physics inaccuracies. So it was really important. I had no idea what that mainstream appeal. I thought it was for this tiny niche audience, but it was really important to me to be accurate. And the story is very accurate. There are a few places where I took creative license and a few places where I just made mistakes, but for the most part, it's pretty accurate.
You know, you talked about thinking this book was going to be for a niche audience. And, you know, we'll move on to the adaptation of the book to a movie and everything else involved with the movie in just a minute. But I want to stay with the book for a minute. You really thought it was going to be for a small niche type audience. And as a result, your book had an incredibly unusual publishing history when you consider where it ended up. Talk about this long, winding road to being a best-selling type novel, where it began, how it proceeded, and how you ended up being this book that hit the shelves and sold so many copies.
Yeah, it's a weird story. So back in my 20s, I'm 43. Back in my 20s, I wrote, I wanted to be a professional writer, and I tried my best to break into the industry. I wrote a book, a previous effort to The Martian, and I couldn't get any traction. No one was interested in being my agent. No publisher was interested in the book. The same sob story you'll hear from pretty much every writer. And so I gave up. I thought, like, okay, I'm not good enough to get in, but it can still be my hobby. It can be something I do for fun. And so around that time or a little bit later, I guess, the internet started to come into its own, and I realized, oh, here's a way for me to make fiction, creative works, post them somewhere where people can read them. And so I made a website, and I made comics and short stories and also some serials. I had three serials going on at the same time. One of them was about aliens invading Earth. Another one was about a 19th century mermaid. And the third one was The Martian. And so I would just post it a chapter at a time, usually a new chapter every 6 to 8 weeks to my website. And just like I'd get reader feedback. I had accumulated over the last 10 years about 3,000 regular readers, which sounds impressive until you remember that first part where it took me 10 years to get that many. But they give me feedback, and everybody liked it, and so I just kept rolling on it, and eventually I finished. I figured, oh, okay, well, I'm done. On to other stories. But readers started emailing me saying, like, hey, I love that I love The Martian, but I hate reading books in a website. Can you make an e-reader version so I can download it and put it on my e-reader? And so I said, sure. I figured out how to do that. I made an e-reader version and posted that to my site. Then I got email from other people saying, oh, hey, I'm glad there's an e-reader version, but I'm not very technically savvy, and I don't know how to download a thing from the internet and put it on my e-reader. Can you just post it up to Amazon so that I can just get it through Kindle's process? It's like, I know how to buy books with my Kindle, so can you just do that? So I figured out how to do that. You can self-publish to Kindle. It's really easy. They don't charge you anything. You're not allowed to give things away for free. I was a little bummed by that because I just wanted to give it away. So you have to charge at least 99 cents. That's Amazon's rules. So I charged 99 cents, the minimum I was allowed to charge, and then told everyone, all right, you can get it. You can read it for free on my site, or you can download it for free from my site, or you can pay Amazon a buck to put it on your Kindle for you, basically. And more people paid a buck than downloaded it for free. It was it really shows how deep into the readership market that Amazon reaches. The book started to work. It got a lot of really good reviews and started working its way up the bestsellers list for Amazon. Once it got into the, you know, number one sci-fi and the top 20 of all Amazon, then publishers started to take an interest. And I was approached by a literary agent, and I said, sure, you can be my agent. And then we were approached by Random House for a book deal. And also at the same time we were negotiating the book deal, Fox came for the film rights. And the book deal and the film deal came together 4 days apart. That was a pretty eventful week for me. So that's how it went from just a lark, a little hobby, to, you know, my whole career.
I would have to say that is an eventful 1 week of your life. And that's the voice of Andy Weir. He's the author of The Martian, which was adapted into one of the big theatrical releases of 2015 called The Martian. It's going to be available Tuesday, January 12th, on Blu-ray and DVD, courtesy of Fox Home Entertainment. Andy, let's move on to the film now. We've talked about the book a lot, and right up to its publishing history and everything in between. Let's talk about the process a little bit of taking your novel and turning it into a movie. Talk about that process a little bit, how involved you were in that process, and what it takes to turn a book into a screenplay.
Well, primarily my job in the movie production was to cash the check. And I feel like I did that very well. To write the screenplay, they brought in the lovely and talented Drew Goddard, who is a veteran screenwriter in Hollywood. He wrote Cloverfield, he directed Cabin in the Woods, he wrote a bunch of episodes of Lost and a bunch of episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's been around the block, and he loved the story. So he wrote the screenplay, and he wrote this beautiful adaptation. And he would call me, in the thick of things, he would call me pretty much every day, and we'd talk about stuff. But I didn't do any of the actual work. That was all Drew. I just kind of, like, answered his questions and advised him. I would say about 80% of the stuff was scientific stuff, where, you know, he had questions about the science. And then the other 20% was bouncing creative stuff off of me. But, yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
No trouble cashing the check. You found your way to the bank easily, without trouble, without difficulty. No problem?
Yeah, I was able to get to the bank without a problem. I deposited the check. Everything went fine, you know. Turns out 20th Century Fox had enough money in their bank account to cover that check, and, you know, it worked out.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, you said your biggest role was cashing the check, and we make light of that, but you were consulted, not so much creatively, but more in a research role. When you look at the movie,
right,
what kind of changes, if any, do you really see from the book to the movie?
Well, are we giving away spoilers here, or are we trying to stay spoiler-free?
You know what? Let's stay fairly spoiler-free. I think most of my audience has seen this movie. It was a huge, great theatrical release starring Matt Damon. But since we're rolling it out on Blu-ray and DVD on Tuesday, January 12th, if there's people that haven't seen it, let's not spoil it for them.
All righty. Well, then I'll just talk in kind of vague terms. For the most part, what they did was they simplified things a bit. They didn't go into the deep technical detail that I go into in the book, but they don't make anything scientifically inaccurate. They just skip the intervening explanation. So what's portrayed is scientifically accurate, except for the places where I wasn't accurate in the book in the first place. They just don't bother to explain everything to you. So I was really happy with that because it keeps things moving along at a nice pace. They cut out some scenes in the book that weren't strictly necessary for the full long-term plot. And I think that was a good idea, too. And the movie's already, I think, 2 hours and 21 minutes long. I mean, they were really kind of up against what is a reasonable length already. So they had to cut some stuff. And they cut the things that I would have cut if they'd left it up to me. So I really like that. And then they spruced up the ending a bit. They Hollywooded it up a bit, and that's fine. They just added a little bit more action and excitement to the climax than the book had. But I love the adaptation. I think they did a fantastic job.
And I guess that's necessary, as, you know, a book is one thing, but the big screen is something different. And there's a necessary, you know, they call them theatrical and dramatic releases, and there's a reason for that. That drama and that theatrical nature is necessary. And I guess real quick before we let you run, you talked about Ridley Scott and you talked about Drew Goddard and their great work. When you look at this film, you sound as though you're really, really proud of their adaptation to your book and that you think it did your book justice.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't point this out. Matt Damon absolutely nailed the character of Watney. I mean, he really, it is exactly the personality and style that I imagined for the character. So I was just like thrilled when I saw the movie the first time. I was like, yep, that's Watney.
I've got a little project for everybody, and we're going to let you run here in just a second, try and keep you somewhat on schedule. How's this for a great weekend? You know, on the 12th, you go out, you get the Blu-ray DVD. You also go to your local bookseller or you jump on Amazon.com and you get the book. And you spend the weekend home and you read the book and then you watch the film and you kind of compare and contrast and just kind of have that fun of reading a book and then comparing it to a screenplay, as we've done with so many other books that have been made into screenplays. Does that sound like a great weekend?
Sounds like a great weekend. I'm personally looking forward to seeing the extras. I've never seen the Blu-ray extras, so this is going to be kind of new for me as well.
That's an added bonus as well. Andy, thanks so much for a few minutes. This was truly a pleasure. It's been an honor to have you aboard. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Thanks
now.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye
right,
now.
You.
That was
me.
Andy Weir joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. On the other side, more sports talk here on the Spano and Black Attack, so you be sure to keep it where it is.